This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of the great things about Kanye West's hit Jesus Walks is the gospel record that it samples with that great vocal bass line. I wanted to find out more about that group, so my guests are the two leaders of the ARC Choir, the Addicts Rehabilitation Center Choir of Harlem. James Allen founded the choir in 1970 to help support the Addicts Rehabilitation Center, which he had worked with since giving up alcohol in 1957. Curtis Lundy is a jazz bass player who's the choir director. When Lundy first came to the choir in 1992, he was addicted to cocaine. All the singers in the choir are former addicts. Before we meet Allen and Lundy, let's hear the track that Kanye West uses on Jesus Walks. It's the title track of the ARC Choir's 1996 recording, Walk With Me.
We at war. We at war with terrorism, racism, but most of all, we at war with ourselves. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. Know what the Midwest is, young and restless, but restless might snatch your necklace, and next these might jack your Lexus. Somebody tell these who Kanye West is. I walk through the valley of the shadow where death is. Top floor, if you alone, I leave you breathless. Try to catch it, it's kinda hard getting choked by the Texas. Yeah, yeah, and I check the method. They be asking us questions, harassing, arrest us, saying we eat pieces of like you for breakfast, huh? Y'all eat pieces of what's the basis? We ain't going nowhere but got suits and cases. A trunk full of rental car from Avis. My mama used to say only Jesus could save us. Well, mama, I know I act a fool, but I'll be gone till November. I got packs to move. I hope
Jesus,
God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down.
Jesus,
the only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now.
Jesus,
and I don't think there's nothing
Jesus,
I could do now to right my wrongs.
Jesus,
I want to talk to God, but I'm afraid because we ain't spoken so long.
James Allen, Curtis Lundy, I want to welcome you both to Fresh Air. What can you tell us? What do you know about how Kanye West decided to use your choir's record and his track, Jesus Walks?
Well, in my conversation with Kanye, Kanye heard it and he liked it, and he said that, you know, it just gave him a different kind of energy that he felt he could work with. And from that, I think he started working on the actual lyrics for the rap, and it all came together.
James Allen, how do you like it musically?
I like it better when we do it, but
I know you're not part of the hip-hop generation or generations.
True. But actually, I had been trying to arrange that song for a couple of years, and then I turned it over to Curtis. And he has a unique background rhythm to it that really moves people.
Yeah, well, Curtis Lundy, I love what you've done with this song. And first of all, what made you think of doing it as a march? I mean, Kanye West really makes it into a march. He adds snare drums. But
right.
it's a march just with the choir. What made you hear it that way?
Well, the word walk.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting Jesus to walk with me. It just, you know, as a musician, imagination is a big part of music. And if you don't use your imagination, then, you know, you end up sounding like everybody else.
Why don't we hear the ARC Gospel Choir recording of Walk With Me? And this is the recording that Kanye West sampled in for his track. So here's how it sounds, just the ARC Choir alone.
Jesus walk, Jesus walk, Jesus walk with me.
I want Jesus to
walk with me.
I want Jesus.
Oh,
with me.
That's the Addicts Rehabilitation Center Gospel Choir, and my guests are James Allen, the founder and executive director, and Curtis Lundy, the choir director. James Allen, you founded the Addicts Rehabilitation Center in 1957, and then founded the choir in the early in 1970. Tell us the story of how the choir grew out of the rehab center.
In 1970, we were given a building as a donation for as a rehab residential drug-free treatment center. And it had a mortgage of $150,000. And we didn't realize that we had a low track record in raising money and that that mortgage was going to come due and we were going to lose the building. So somehow or another, when I was frustrated and wanted to quit, my wife said to me, "Why don't you pray about it?" Which I did. And the next day I went to work, and one of the guys that I was going to put out of the program because he was always running around singing, I got with him, and he suggested that we form a choir. And we did. And we started singing in local churches and telling them that we were going to lose our building. And they started contributing to us. And that's how the choir started. It started as a group that was going to raise money to pay off the mortgage. And we did. We paid off the mortgage. But then I realized that God had a deeper message than just paying off the mortgage. So we kept on singing.
What made you start to think that singing in the choir was actually helpful to addicts who were trying to stay straight?
They are the ones that convinced me of that. They kept saying that I'd never been in a program where people had the Spirit. And people are hungry, some people, for the Spirit of God to permeate their lives. And these people were the ones who got the message through my thick head. I'm a frustrated person who really had planned to play jazz music also on the guitar. And somehow or another, God has kept me so busy doing this stuff, I haven't had time to practice my chops.
Do you sing at all?
Well, yes.
You said that slightly hesitantly. Do you sing in the choir?
I do. There are some songs that I sing on.
Okay. What are the ground rules for staying in the choir? I imagine part of the rules is that you have to stay straight.
Yes, you got to be straight and sober. And if you are in the program, many of the choir members are graduates of the program. There are some people who have been singing in it almost since its inception. And you have to remain sober. You have to have a behavioral pattern that's respected in the community because you're profiling yourself out there. And pretty much, you don't have to be the best singer in the world because I have found that you can take bad voices and if you can teach them how to breathe correctly, that it compensates for bad voices and they can learn how to carry the tune.
What are the auditions like?
Sometimes very, sometimes like Simon and American Idol.
He's right.
So, but if I could see if you're like Simon and American Idol, that you would not only be insulting their singing voices, but maybe challenging them about their ability to stay sober?
Well, actually, what happens is we don't come down heavy on people unless we're going to give them a shot afterward. We may say you sang terrible, but we'll let you stay and we'll teach you how to sing if you listen and pay attention. So that's the difference between us. If it's someone that really cannot sing at all, we sort of soften the blow. You know, if you're part in company with someone, you should leave them with a good spirit. But you can come down on people if you plan to put pressure to them and teach them how to do something.
Now, you both got to this point through being former addicts yourselves. So, James Allen, can you tell us your story? Like, what was your addiction, and how did you get over it?
Well, the first 7 years of my addiction was smoking marijuana, thinking it wouldn't lead on to something else. And then the next 10 years of my addiction, at least 7 of them, I slept in the streets of New York, literally, from basement to basement. And then somewhere in one of my cleanup periods, I met my wife, and we started staying together. She didn't know I was an addict, and when she found it out, she convinced, I say tricked me, into going to Lexington, Kentucky to kick my habit. And while I was at Lexington kicking my habit...
That's a prison, isn't it?
Yes. But back in the 50s, you could volunteer to go there for 6 weeks.
For rehab?
From all over the United States. Uh-huh. And you could withdraw, and you stay there for 6 weeks. I only stayed there for 30 days. While I was there, as soon as I sobered up, I realized two things. One was that I better go back to my wife, who was not my wife at the time, but I better go back to her. I hadn't planned on it when I left her, because she was the best woman I ever met in my life. The second thing was that I should try to embrace God, whom I had met with my grandparents down on a farm in Louisiana. So those two things worked for me. And how I got involved in drug rehab was, soon as I got back to New York, a week later, we went to a local church that I was planning on joining and eventually did join. And the minister was announcing that he was going to start working with addicts. So he wanted to have meetings, and anybody interested could come. So I became part of those meetings. And once that minister left the church, somehow or another, God put me in charge of the church's daycare program, which resulted in the establishment of the ARC residential program.
James Allen, you founded the Addicts Rehabilitation Center Choir in 1970, and Curtis Lundy, it was years after that. It was in 1992 that you came to the choir. You had become an addict yourself. What was your addiction?
Cocaine, and whatever way I could use it. Now, the only thing that might have saved me a little bit is I was terrified of needles. So, but that at the same time, that's one of the reasons why I started ingesting it by smoking it. And you know, of course, when you start to use drugs, nobody figures they're going to end up being an addict. And one day I was actually going out to COP to get some drugs, and I was walking one way on, 120th Street, I'll never forget that one. And I passed by this gentleman, and he passed by me, and then after about 10 paces, both of us stopped and turned around. It turns out the gentleman who turned around was someone who I had went to college with at the University of Miami. And he said, "I've been looking for you. I heard you were here." And later that day, he took me to ARC. And at that particular time, I didn't realize that it was going to be the beginning of my life, getting my life back.
Did he take you to hear it, or because he thought you should be part of it?
No, he took me to it because I looked like death walking, and he wanted me to get my life together. I didn't hear the choir until I was at ARC about 2 weeks, actually.
Oh, I see. So he took you to the rehab center, not to the choir.
Yeah, he took me directly to the rehab center.
Got it. And James Allen, when you realized that Curtis Lundy was a jazz musician, how long did it take you to find out about his background, to find out that he'd played with Betty Carter, for instance?
Well, he made sure that I knew all of that. And when he did, I made him promise me something. I made him put his bass down for how many months?
3 months.
I made him promise to put his bass down for 3 months and not touch it, but to focus in on himself, because I recognized that he was using that as a badge of distinction and forgetting about the real Curtis behind that. So I made him zero in on himself, except for those times that I'm sure he cheated.
So you wanted him to find himself outside of the fact that he had stature in jazz, to just find his very
right.
essence beyond the success that he had achieved as a musician.
Yes.
Curtis uh-huh. Lundy, did that make sense to you?
At the time, no. But as I prayed on it and thought about it, yes, it did. Because, you know, I feel like God had given me the talent and you know, my musical awareness. So if he wanted me to have it, he wouldn't take it away from me. You know, what was more important is that I realized that I needed to use it to help further what God's word is, which is to help each one, you know, be a better person. And, you know, if I got my life together, I knew my music would come back. So, you know, it's, you know, what came first, my life or my music? And my life came first.
James Allen, do you find you sometimes have to be very tough with some of the people in the choir to give them a sense of discipline and also just to keep them straight?
You asked him, but I can tell you, yes, he's a taskmaster. And
what does he do? People, what does he do?
Sometimes all he does is look at you, and that's enough. But you know, he can cut with the tongue a little bit. But you know what? He doesn't do it unless it's necessary, and I will give him that. Sometimes but one of Mr. Allen's, and this is something that I've learned from him, one of the things that I love about Mr. Allen, and I've seen him do it so many times, and he explained it to me, he has no problem tearing you down, but he will build you back up. He won't leave you broken and you know, just discouraged and, you know. But to get the message across, sometimes you got to cut a little deep, and he don't have a problem doing that.
Did somebody do that with you, James Allen? Did somebody play that role in your life?
My grandfather did. Understand, I'm 81 years old. I knew both my great-grandparents on both sides of the family. In fact, one of my great-grandmothers was a former slave. When the Civil War was over, she was 15. And I had all of these people on my back growing up.
So, but after you were addicted, was there somebody in your life who was really tough on you who helped you stay straight?
I didn't need that, only God.
Was religion a part of your life before you got sober?
When I was a child, it was part of my life. But religion is not necessarily a part of my life now. Faith in God is a part of my life, but when it comes to religions, I respect them all, and I learn from all of them. But I don't subscribe to any particular one. Well, any Protestant religions, that's what I'm a part of. It's inherent in me because it's part of my growing up. But I'm not a faithful participant in what you would call religion. In fact, I conduct a Bible fantasy where people can come and sit down and say what they believe, and nobody can't argue with them because we say we made it up in our mind. Nobody knows for sure. But if you like it, you can pick up pieces of it and add it to your life.
Curtis Lundy, was faith a part of your life before joining the Addicts Rehabilitation Center and the choir?
Yes. Of course, to be honest with you, God bless her, my mother told me that I was not going to get my life together until I put God back in my life. And she was right. And, you know, I grew up in the church with my mother singing and my whole family. My grandfather built the church that I attended as a child. So to answer your question, yes.
Curtis Lundy, you've been the choir master of the Addicts Rehabilitation Center Gospel Choir for over a decade. So I'm wondering, do you still play in jazz bands? Do you still play bass in jazz bands? What's become of that part of your life?
Oh, it's still there. It never left. After I took my 3-month layoff, I picked my instrument back up. And as a matter of fact, Betty Carter called Mr. Allen one day and said, I need Curtis to take, you know, to do some gigs with me. And he graciously let me go. And Betty at that particular time was basically giving me an opportunity for other musicians to see that I was clean and sober and back on the scene.
Right.
So she helped me in that way, and I could never, never repay her. You know, I'm indebted to Betty all my life, actually. But that's, to answer your question, I'm back on the scene. I'm working, and I've been recording and doing my own CDs and things like that, and working with my sister a lot, and people like Bobby Watson and John Hicks. So I've been blessed to be accepted back to my position.
James Allen, you've been, you know, running an addicts rehabilitation center since the late 1950s, and you've been running the choir since 1970. You were an addict before doing this work. That was a long time ago. That was in the 1950s. Do you feel, you're 81 now, do you still feel like it's hard work to keep sober, or is that like very much behind you?
All of that is behind me. I enjoy life. Somebody said to me once, if you do work that's gratifying, you'll never work again. So I don't look at this as being
work. Let me thank you both very much. James Allen is the director and the founder of the Addicts Rehabilitation Center Gospel Choir. Curtis Lundy is the choir director. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
We'll close with another track from the 1996 recording Walk With Me by the ARC Choir, the Addicts Rehabilitation Center Choir.